Hello, everyone, and welcome to this evening's Trillium Health Partners Community Telephone Town Hall Meeting. We are live tonight with Michelle D'Emmanuel, President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners. In addition, we are joined by Dr. Dante Mora, Chief of Staff, and Catherine Hayward-Murray, Senior Vice President, Patient Care Services, and Chief Nursing Executive. In addition, we are joined by thousands of residents from across Mississauga and Etobicoke listening in. To ask a question live this evening, simply press 3 on your phone's keypad. Once again, if you have a live question that you'd like to ask on this evening's town hall at any time, press 3 on your phone's keypad. Also, if you are following us on Twitter, you can submit questions to @Trillium_health. My name is Eric, and I'll be the moderator of the town hall this evening. Now, during this live community telephone town hall, we do encourage you to get involved and to ask questions and give your opinion by voting on a few of our questions. Michelle D'Emmanuel chose this format as this is an interactive town hall with you, which means we want to hear from you. Michelle and Trillium Health Partners leadership team want to hear your feedback and opinions and have an open dialogue and discussion with you and fellow residents about how Trillium Health Partners can better serve and communicate with you about the important health issues that our families and neighbors face today. Tonight, our intention is to get as many questions from you as possible. You can ask questions at any time by pressing 3 on your phone's keypad. Someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. If you're following us on Twitter, you can also submit questions to us at @Trillium_health. Now, for everyone joining us, hello and welcome to this evening's Trillium Health Partners Community Telephone Town Hall Meeting. We are live tonight with Michelle D'Emmanuel, President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners. In addition, we are joined by Dr. Dante Mora, Chief of Staff, and Catherine Hayward-Murray, Senior Vice President, Patient Care Services, and Chief Nursing Executive. In addition, we are joined by thousands of residents from across Mississauga and Etobicoke listening in. We want to remind everyone tonight that you have a chance to ask a live question by pressing 3 on your phone's keypad at any time. We do want to hear from you, so you can press 3 at any time over the course of the town hall, and you'll have a chance to ask a live question on this evening's town hall. Of course, if you're following us on Twitter, you can send us a question at @Trillium_health. Also, we'll be doing a series of survey questions during the course of the town hall. You'll have a chance to vote live on those questions as they come up. Now, at this time, I'm going to introduce Trillium Health Partners President and CEO, Michelle D'Emmanuel, so we can open up the town hall. Michelle, welcome. I'm excited about doing another community telephone town hall this evening. The events have become an important part of Trillium Health Partners' efforts to engage and communicate with residents that THP serves. Tonight will be an opportunity to recap the information from the last town hall and provide an update on critical topics that impact the community. At the moment, it seems we have a lot of people joining us, so Michelle, please go ahead.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us this evening. It's been a big year for us at Trillium and for this community. Earlier this year, we were approved to build 500 new beds and renovating more than 500 existing beds at both our Mississauga Hospital and our Queensway Health Center. This is our future, and I want to thank all of you for your support in getting us this far. We've also opened up a new 39-bed complex continuing care unit at our Queensway site, adding much needed capacity for all of our sites. I want to thank the community for these accomplishments because they are a result of your support and your continuing efforts to make sure we have a system that works for all of us. Tonight, I want to get back to you on a few things that you've asked me over our last couple of town halls and give you an update on what we've been working on. Last time, 68% of the people who were on our telephone town hall said they were aware of the unprecedented capacity challenges we were facing. No doubt, you are hearing and reading the coverage about patient experiences and wait times in hospitals. We've been working on solutions to improve this, and more beds are part of that. Currently, we've added 136 surge spaces that will help us get through the highest demand periods, particularly over flu season. Last year, that was only about 100 surge spaces. We are currently in the process of looking for 99 dedicated beds for our hospital, which is part of a provincial plan to address capacity challenges faced by the highest needs hospitals. That's our hospital, and that will be available to us this winter. In the next 30 to 90 days, we are working with our local health integration network on finding transition spaces for people who are ready to leave hospital and to help them make their way to home or to their community. These two initiatives alone, we believe, will help us as we enter into the flu season, which has greater capacity demands upon us. In the medium term, we're building 221 long-term care beds as part of our next stage of master planning. This will bring additional capacity to us in the coming years ahead. We hope to purchase and secure land in the next few months. We are also working on ways to prevent hospitalization by using technology or new delivery models. For example, home dialysis, or work that we're doing in our PATH program in cardiac. One of the most important parts of the town hall is to be accountable to you. And in our last town hall, you raised a number of issues that I want to come back to. Parking. Parking is a reflection of the pressure on our hospital. When we see a lack of parking, it's because we have more people coming through our doors for services than ever before, often with others. Since your feedback, here's what's been done. We've added 193 additional parking spots over the last year, with the last 50 to come on board at our Mississauga Hospital site. At our Credit Valley Hospital site, if you've been driving by, you will see there's a construction going on, adding 82 new parking spaces, plus an additional 55 spaces through car jockeying and rearranging some of our existing parking platform. This, we think, will make a big difference. One of the other things that you've raised is our Phase 3 construction at the Credit Valley site and the congestion that is creating because of construction. It can be confusing at times, and I know many of you have talked to me about the difficulty in dropping patients off. I want to thank you for your patience and understanding as we work through that construction. We hope that Phase 3 will be completed by the spring of 2018. But we're really excited by a couple of initiatives that are occurring shortly. The drop-off in the front of the CVH entrance will be open in the next 2 weeks. This will alleviate a great deal of congestion, but also make it easier to drop patients off at the front door. As well, the Mississauga Transit System will resume the bus stop on hospital property by December. This will give access to our community to the front door. Some of the entrance closest to the emergency department will remain closed, and we hope that will be available and open, as we said, in the spring. But I do think the initiative of the front door being more open and the Mississauga Transit coming back onto the property should make a difference. You've also raised with me emergency department wait times, and you've asked me about how can we improve those wait times. I want to share with you that this year we've already seen almost 1,200 more patients coming through our emergency department doors than ever before. We actually project to see almost 5,300 more patients or visits by year end. As well, we have more inpatient days. That means patients are staying longer and there are more patients coming through our door. And in fact, there have been 7,100 more days used in this past year than in the previous year. On average, it takes about 89% of our patients are waiting within an 8-hour time period from the time they arrive to when they are sent home or up to an inpatient unit. That means 89% are being addressed within 8 hours. And on average, it takes 1.5 hours to see a physician during that wait period. These times have not gone down, but they also haven't gone up against the backdrop of seeing more patients coming through our doors. We do believe that those 99 additional beds that we will bring on stream over the next couple of months will also help make a difference to these wait times. We are working with our physicians and staff to make sure that those who require the most urgent and emergent care needs are able to get it. We have seen a reduction in wait times for radiation therapy. We have seen a reduction in wait times for our outpatient mental health clinics from 8 months to some 4 weeks now. So we have seen some improvements, but we know there's more we need to do. We also know with the construction of Phase 3 that our surgical wait times could have gone up significantly because we had to close 5 of our 12 operating rooms during this construction period. But thanks to our physicians and our staff and our community, We've been able to mitigate that by moving some of our services around to our Queensway site and expanding our hours of operation into the evening, and that has helped us to maintain our surgical wait time capacity. And we are very hopeful that in January, 4 of those 5 operating rooms will come up on stream and help us to continue to meet your needs. One of the other areas that you've talked to me about are the visiting hours. It's important that we have an opportunity to visit our loved ones, our family, and our friends when they're in our hospital and when you are part of their care team. We recently introduced new guidelines which offer a more flexible approach to visiting hours. Family members and loved ones are welcomed at all hours based on the condition, care needs, and the wishes of patients. To ensure a healing and restful environment, quiet hours are now in place from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day. But your hospital is open 24 hours, 7 days a week for you. I look forward at our next Telephone Town Hall event to talk about what you've told us this time and what matters to you most in the priorities. Over this last year, not just through telephone town halls, but through a number of ways, we've reached out to 164,000 people in our community. We've had focus groups, in-depth focus groups, with over 6,000 individuals. And 3,400 of our residents responded and participated in these focus groups in the past 6 months. Through this outreach and through our town halls, you've told me consistently that your top priorities are high quality care and access, an exceptional patient experience, continuous improvement and innovation, and a focus on community health promotion and prevention. I want to thank you for your feedback, and I hope my report back to you tonight indicates we are listening. So, Eric, let's take some questions.
Well, we do have our first live questions coming up. Quickly, I want to remind everyone joining us on the town hall this evening that we do want to hear from you. There's two ways you can ask a question. At any time over the course of the town hall, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad. Someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. So again, at any time, press 3 on your phone's keypad and someone will take your name and place you in the question queue to ask a question live on the town hall this evening. Of course, you can also ask us a question via Twitter, and you can go to @Trillium_health and ask a question there. Now, Michelle, why do you think it's important for a hospital CEO to hear from local residents?
Well, Eric, first and foremost, this is their hospital. A community hospital is, in fact, it belongs to the community, and so it's important that as the leaders of this who are entrusted to deliver these services on behalf of the community, that we are able to understand what the priorities are, that we are able to have an opportunity to reflect and improve, and that feedback that we receive constantly allows us to do that. It's important that we have a constant dialogue. We do that not just through telephone town halls, as I mentioned, but through focus groups, surveys, online questionnaires. We use street teams that go out to the malls to receive feedback and engage in dialogue, because it is an ongoing dialogue. It is an ongoing relationship that we have with our community and not an event. And so for us to have an outstanding hospital in this community, to be able to deliver on the needs and to have excellence in the services that we deliver, it requires us to really be in touch with what the community needs are and how best we can meet those needs in partnership.
Now, we're quickly going to go to our first survey question of the evening. So using your touch-tone phone, you can indicate your response on the following question. Before tonight, were you aware of the unprecedented demand for services to care for the size of the community? If yes, press 1, and if not, press 2. So again, before tonight, were you aware of the unprecedented demand for services to care for the size of the community? If yes, please press 1, and if not, please press 2. Now, of course, we have our first live this is actually our first question. It's going to be a question from Twitter. The user NurseNextDoor asks, how are the plans coming along for the expansion of the M site?
Well, thank you for that question. We, as I said, we have an opportunity to build over 500 new beds at our Queensway and Mississauga site and also replace our existing 500 beds at our sites that are some 60 years old. So we are in the process right now of beginning to go out into the marketplace to select someone to help us to begin to think about the design of that hospital, where programming should happen. And through that process, which will take some 18 to 24 months, we'll be coming out to the community to talk to you quite directly about how you see the vision of this new hospital taking shape and what will matter to you as we not just build a new hospital in the next few years, but really for the next several decades. So we're very excited. We've started out the gate very quickly, and I think you'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks ahead as we release our first call for proposal to the market to help us build this.
Now, we do have our first live question ready to go. Quickly before we get to that person, I want to remind everyone joining us that if you would like to ask a live question, we want to hear from you at any point during the town hall. Press 3 on your phone's keypad. You can also go to twitter.com at @Trillium_health, and you can ask a question there. And like I said, press 3 to ask a live question on the town hall. We're going to go to Evelyn for our first live question. Evelyn, you're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Quite recently, my husband was admitted to the Clear Valley Hospital, and the wait time was from 2:30 to 3 a.m. I had a husband who had a UTI, plus he has a fusion in his spine, and they made his wait the entire evening sitting on a chair. So what are we doing to get better services at emergency? Secondly, when he was admitted to the hospital, the service was so bad that I really felt better to bring my husband home than have him have an accident in the hospital because the care was really, really poor. I was there with my husband from morn to night, and I was there always at 10 o'clock or 10:30. But till that time, I felt there was not much care given to him. And I want to know, what are we doing so that the nurses are equipped with better care services for their patients? Even the there was not sufficient care. They were just left. They were left to be wet in their wet clothes and their wet diapers and their wet. Their mouths were never washed in the morning. So, what are we? Do they have any special care or training that the nurses get? Because I was very disappointed.
So, Evelyn, thank you so much for calling in. And first and foremost, let me apologize because clearly this experience has not been one that has met your needs or your husband's needs. I need to say I can't talk about any specific patient experience, and I'd be happy for you to call directly to my office, and I'd love to meet with you and sit down with patient relations to understand how this could have been improved for you. But let me talk more generally because I think at the heart of your question is, how can we ensure that we are delivering quality, safe services? How do we ensure that our nurses have the right training, our physicians have the right training, and that there's an environment for care which is at a standard that you should expect from your hospital? And so let me take that, and I will ask maybe Dr. Mora or our chief nursing executive, Catherine, to make a few comments. So first and foremost, we have a number of things that we do to ensure that we are looking at the standards of care in our emergency department. I talked a little bit in my opening comments about wait times. We monitor that. We look at how long it takes a patient to get from the emergency department up onto an inpatient floor. We look at times to porter to get to get your diagnostic testing. There are many different ways in which we evaluate and assess our performance in the emergency department. We also use a tool that we round with patients to ensure that we're effectively communicating. We call that tool AIDIS, but it really involves ensuring that we introduce ourselves, we acknowledge that we are working on your behalf, that we identify the needs that we are trying to come to grips with together in terms of how we are going to treat you or what your care path will be, and then making sure that there's an opportunity for you to ask questions. And when there is effective communication, then there is an opportunity to ensure that we have an effective patient experience. And so those are a couple of things that I would say in a general way that we are doing to improve. But I also want to say, and I said this in my opening comments, that we know that patients are waiting in our emergency department longer than we would like them to wait. and that we believe that with the 99 additional bed capacity coming on, that that will help us in ensuring that we are able to reduce that weight, and we will constantly reassess and evaluate our standards of care, nursing care, physician care, physiotherapy care, etc., to make sure that we are living up to that which is expected to us by regulation, and I would want us to even live beyond that and be able to have an exceptional patient experience. Dr. Mora and Catherine, would you like to comment?
Well, thank you, Evelyn, for your comments, and I do want to apologize. We try very hard to get it right, and when we don't get it right, it's important that we hear about it. And I would urge you to contact our patient relations line at 905-848-7164 because we really want to be able to understand more about this particular case. On a broad level, wait times aren't always the same for everybody, and so there's no doubt that a wait time for one person and a wait time for someone who has a back issue makes it more difficult. And what we're always trying to do in our eMERGE is, with the lack of capacity within the system, is try our best to assess people in the fastest possible way. And sometimes that means having people wait outside of rooms so those rooms can be seen to assess people. Just a couple things that we're trying to do to improve the care. And Michelle spoke a little bit about this, is we're really working very hard to standardize our care across the entire Trillium Health Partners Hospital and move it to best practice. And one example of this is our order set project, where what we're doing is we're using best practice orders and care from nursing care all the way to the right medications and vitals and ways of taking care of people, and doing that across the system and ensuring that that happens every moment. And actually monitoring those standards, because I think ultimately we want to get those standards right 100% of the time. The second thing is we're adding in resources in the appropriate place. So, for instance, on weekends, having more physiotherapists and social workers and doctors in the hospital for those off-hour times, so we're better able to meet the needs of patients like your husband and be able to take care of them as we go forward. So those are just a couple of those things, and I know we want to get it right and our people want to get it right, and I'm sorry in the situation we didn't.
Evelyn, it's Catherine speaking, Chief Nursing Executive, and I wanted to make a comment around your comments in terms of how we're supporting our nurses. At Trillium Health Partners, we have 3,500 nurses that work across our sites, and all of those nurses, when they come to Trillium Health Partners, get an orientation. All of our staff get an orientation in terms of what the expectations are in providing care for our patients. We also provide ongoing education and support for all of our staff. We have on-site educators that support the care, and we do have some processes in place that we're always endeavoring to improve the patient experience. So I'm sorry, as well as my colleagues here, around some of the experiences that you and your husband have experienced, but I also welcome the opportunity to hear those comments so that we can make improvements. And one of the things that we do on a daily basis are quality rounds, where the staff on each unit in the organization do huddle and talk about the challenges that they're having and to hopefully meet the needs of the patients. So with that, again, encouraging you to get in contact with our patient relations department so that we can better understand your unique situation.
Eric, I've got the latest poll results from your first question, and I understand that 61% of our community is aware of our capacity demand, and 39% said they were not. So that's a great piece of feedback for us so that we can make sure that we are getting the message out around some of the challenges that we are facing in this community with respect to capacity. So thank you, everyone, for that feedback.
Well, we actually do have another poll that we're going to get to quickly before our next live question, and we want to hear from everyone using your touchtone phone. You can indicate your response. What do you want to hear more about from Trillium Health Partners? If it is programs and services at the hospital, press 1. If it is tips on how to stay healthy, press 2. If it is what to expect when you're a patient, press 3. And if it's our plans to expand our current sites and the future of the hospital, press 4. So again, what do you want to hear more about from Trillium Health Partners? If it is programs and services at the hospital, press 1. If it is tips on how to stay healthy, press 2. If it is what to expect when you're a patient, press 3. And if it is our plans to expand our current sites and the future of the hospital, press 4. We're now going to go to our next live question coming from Riaz. Riaz, welcome to the town hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
My question is that there is no psychologist in the hospital. He should have been here. She should have been available just like other doctors. And psychiatric are referred by the family doctors, and the 2-3 months time is given to them. This, the private, the not-for-profit organizations are claiming that they are providing such type of consultations or something like that, but they don't have any professional psychologist with them, and they are getting funds from the agencies, but actually they are they have only the social workers and something like that. No psychologist, no psychiatrist available with them. This problem is very serious. For any matter, people are facing a lot of trouble. They don't know where to go.
Thank you very much for those comments. Just to emphasize that when you come to the hospital, if you do require a social worker or psychiatrist, we do have them on site. They are at all of our sites and available to you through consultation with the doctor that sees you when you first arrive. For psychology support, we will partner with other agencies and psychologists that are out in the community. So if you do require those services, we can provide you with access to them by providing that information to you when you're here with us.
Riaz, thank you very much for your question. Now we're going to go to our next live question. Quickly, I want to remind everyone that if you have a live question, we want to hear from you at any time over the course of the town hall. Press 3 on your phone's keypad, and you'll have a chance to ask a live question on the town hall. So again, at any time, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad to ask a live question. We're now going to go to our next live question coming up from Joe. Joe, welcome. You're joining us live.
Thank you very much. I don't have a question, but I do have, guess, a testimonial type of thing. I was at the Trillium about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. 16 days I had heart surgery, and I just wanted to say how beautiful the service there. I never expected the hospital to be ran so efficient, and the nursing staff, Dr. Ahmed and his staff, everybody was so professional and great, and I owe my life to all of them. And thank you very much for your good service. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that. And we know that that's what we strive for. And as Dr. Mora commented, that's something that we strive for consistently to do. And we also know that we can continue to work hard to do better.
Joe, thank you very much for those comments. Now, I just want to quickly remind everyone, we're still having new people join us on this evening's Trillium Health Partners Community Telephone Town Hall meeting. We are live tonight with Michelle D'Emmanuel, President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners. In addition, we are joined by Dr. Dante Mora, Chief of Staff, and Catherine Hayward Murray, Senior Vice President, Patient Care Services, and Chief Nursing Executive. We're taking your questions. Press 3 at any time to ask a live question. We do want to hear from you. We're going to go now to Atiya for a question. Atiya, you're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. My question is, since the hospital is aware that many people who come into the emergency department do not have life-threatening situations, and does the hospital plan to have almost like a walk-in clinic across the hall so that those people who don't have life-threatening conditions should basically just go to that other space?
Hi, Tia. It's Dr. Mora on answering. And I think it is a really important point. And what we know is the best thing for service for people in our community is a really good family doctor that you have a relationship with. And that's the person who you can manage your conditions and also manage situations that aren't life-threatening. I think also it's important that people know there's also many other offerings and other places within the community where you can get care. And as an example, if you go to myhealth365.ca, it's a website that actually provides a lot of the different resources available. And that's everything from urgent care clinics to telehealth resources. And if you cannot get care and you have a less serious illness and you have to come to our hospital, our Queensway Health Center has an urgent care clinic that will provide a service and usually is more streamlined because of the ambulances and the patients who have a higher acuity or more sickness are coming to our M site and our Credit Valley site. So thank you for your thoughts. I think it's a really important point. And fundamentally, being with your family doctor is the best thing that we can do to provide and prevent people coming to the hospital who don't necessarily need to come to the hospital.
Atiyah, thank you very much for that question. Now we're going to go directly to our next live question. Again, for everyone joining us, press 3 to ask a live question of your very own. We're now going to go to a question from Mary. Mary, welcome to the town hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. I had my baby at Trillium Hospital, and I was induced in the morning, and then by evening at about 6, 7 p.m., I was given the epidural, and I don't understand why they had to give the epidural to me 4 times on each occasion. Sometimes I was like giving those long needles like 3 times before the doctor left, and then finally on the 4th time they brought in a lady, and that was the one that kind of finally worked. And up to now, I still feel pain even after a year of having my baby. I still have pain, like I still go to the doctor and all that for the pain, and sometimes I get these shock waves on my leg. So I don't know why that has to be done so many times.
So thank you for your question. As I said, we won't answer specific patient questions on this telephone town hall. What I can say is that we have a patient relations part of this hospital that it works on your behalf, and as a patient, if at any point during your experience with the hospital, whether it's in an emergency department, as an inpatient or outpatient, this is a group of people in the hospital that are available to you to ask questions, to raise concerns, to have them work with the clinicians and physicians and others who have given care to you, to work through that with you and either explain to you what has gone on or from time to time, will also review a file or a case and sit down to make sure that something didn't happen that shouldn't have happened. And this patient relations area actually reports directly into the CEO and has access directly to me so that we ensure that the patients who have concerns have unfettered access to being able to work through those concerns with people who can work alongside them so that you feel and believe that you've gotten the information you need to have about your health. And so I would always encourage any of our listeners who have had an experience with the hospital where you either need more information or didn't understand something, we will sit down with you and we would be happy to review that case with you and why decisions were taken in the way in which they were taken. So again, I want to thank the caller for raising that. And at the end of the telephone town hall, I'll give a series of numbers so that you can contact me directly.
Mary, thank you very much for that question. Now, quickly, we're going to do another survey. So everyone joining us on the phone, use your touch-tone phone to indicate your response. How do you want to hear from us? If it is via a newspaper or a flyer, press 1. If it is via email or social media, press 2. If it's through the television or radio, press 3. And if it's while visiting the hospital, press 4. So again, how do you want to hear from us? If it is newspaper or flyer, press 1. If it is email or social media, please press 2. If it is television or radio, please press 3. And if it is while visiting the hospital, press 4. We're now going to go to our next live question from Oksana. Oksana, welcome to the town hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. I just thought I would bring it to your attention. on Saturday, November the 4th, around 7:30 in the evening, my husband had a blood mark on his eye. Having recently gone through a cataract operation, he was concerned about it. So I said, go to urgent care across from Sherway Gardens, which he did. At that time, there was hardly anybody there. He was admitted to a room immediately. He waited approximately 1 hour in that room waiting for a doctor to address him. There were four doctors standing there talking, laughing, drinking coffee, but it took an hour before one of them finally came to address him. The doctor that came in, uniform, whatever that they wear, was dirty. His jeans were very dirty, and his shoes and the cloths around his feet were very dirty. At this point, my husband didn't want him to touch his eye. He said, you know, he's going to give me an infection. He did look at his eye, said everything was okay, not to worry about it, it would go away. And it did go away, so he didn't need any medication. But what we were very surprised at, that this has happened to my son once before, that they're not clean. The ones that are urgent care, they just stand around and they wait. They don't do very much. And there was nobody there. I don't understand how this can be happening in our society today, that it's not being monitored. Basically, I just thought I should bring it to your attention. It was the November the 4th, around 7:30 in the evening. It was a Saturday night. So I think they should be clean. They should address patients looking clean. You don't need any more infection than what you walk in with. Thank you very much for taking my call.
So thank you very much for your comment. A couple of things I guess I'd like to say about that. So first off, for those of you who don't know about our Queensway site, we see about 60,000 patients a year at that site. I think as our caller indicated that and Dr. Moore referenced this in one of his previous answers, that often because it's an urgent care center, the wait times are typically in that sort of 1 to 2 hour period if you have an urgent need versus an emergent need where you would be transferred over to one of our other sites. I would want everyone to know that we do regular audits on hand hygiene. We are constantly doing infection control audits to ensure that our spaces are clean, that are free of infection. We monitor our C. difficile rates and a whole other series of monitoring around infection control in all of our sites, and that is an essential component to running a hospital. At all three sites, we have on-site leadership and management, and we would be able to observe that. So I would want people to know that although Queensway is an urgent care center and not one of our main hospital sites, we do have leadership there and on-site management and regularly monitor that. In fact, I was just at that site a couple of times over the last week. And so can we do better? Absolutely. I appreciate very much the observations that were made, and Dr. Moore and I and Catherine will share that with our staff. When we do these telephone town halls, we sit down and we take this feedback and we do share it with our leaders and our staff, and in fact, I'm sure many of our staff have called in because they're residents of our community. And so I can commit to ensuring that we will do that and we'll do better.
Oksana, thank you very much for your comments. We're going to go to another live question. Now, we're still having new people join us. I want to welcome everyone to this evening's Trillium Health Partners Community Telephone Town Hall meeting. So far, over 15,000 people have joined us on the town hall this evening. We are live tonight with Michelle D'Emmanuel, President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners. In addition, we are joined by Dr. Dante Mora, Chief of Staff, and Catherine Hayward Murray, Senior Vice President, Patient Care Services, and Chief Nursing Executive. We're going to go to our next live question. Of course, for everyone joining us, if you have a live question at any time, press 3 on your phone's keypad, and you'll have a chance to ask this live question on the town hall this evening. We're going to go now to Natasha. Natasha, welcome to the town hall. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I just would like to hear a bit more with the expansion that's currently going on over a Trillium Partners, including the three hospitals, in particular Credit Valley Hospital. I have a son with special needs, and we frequent Credit Valley Hospital. So I was wondering what has been done or is going to be done to sort of eliminate the wait time, in particularly for children that are medically fragile. Because I, in the past, have had long wait times with my son in the emergency room, particularly because we are waiting for a pediatrician that would know enough about my son's case to speak or to see him.
Hi, Natasha. It's Dr. Mora. I'm going to answer a couple points and then pass over to Catherine Hayward-Murray. The first item is one of the things that we'll be doing in our new eMERGE is creating a zone just for pediatrics so that as you're coming into the eMERGE that you can be fast-tracked through that process of triage and seeing the eMERGE doctor into the pediatrician. And that makes a really big difference when you have a process just for children coming in. I think the second point is around, you mentioned around your child having complex needs and getting to the right physician. We're working very hard to have multiple physicians on over at the Credit Valley site in our pediatric program, and there is a significant amount of staffing there to be able to deal with multiple children coming in. So I think as we move through our Phase 3 project and into the next phase of our eMERGE, I think you'll find that we'll be able to provide a higher level of service that's more personalized.
I think I would just add to that at the Credit Valley site in particular, we do have 24-hour, 7 days a week coverage by a pediatrician. So in addition to the eMERGE doctors who are caring for your son when he first arrived, there is always on-site a pediatrician. The other thing I'd like to comment on as we move forward in providing care, in particular for special needs children, is that we do need to partner with other organizations in our community to ensure that we have the full suite of services that are available to you and your son.
Natasha, thank you very much for that question. We're quickly going to go to another survey. So for everyone joining us on the line, indicate your response on the following question. Based on what you know of THP and what you have heard tonight, are we focused on the right things? If yes, press 1. If not, press 2, and if you're not sure, press 3. So again, based on what you know of THP and what you have heard tonight, are we focused on the right things? If yes, please press 1. If not, press 2, and if you're not sure, press 3. We're going to our next live question. This one's coming from Huda. Huda, welcome to the town hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Michelle, Dr. and Dr. Mora, since he is already in the medical field and he is a physician. My question is, one of the main long time before seeing a physician, because we have such a short in physicians and nurses in different hospitals and clinics. And I don't understand, I understand that Canada is really trying to give a high standard for the patients in terms of the medical services they provide. But at the same time, I don't understand why it's such difficult for students to get into the medical field in the first place, although they may have the qualifications, whether they've done medical, they've studied the their undergrad back home or here in Canada. Dr. Morris, you're not a physician. You're also a professor at one of the Canadian institutions in Ontario. So my really, it's more of a suggestion or a concern. For the future, I wish that Canada, something about that, facilitating for students that they have interest in the medical field to go and pursue their dreams, providing the proper training, ensuring that the doctors is one thing, but we have to make sure that we actually get them the right place and get their foot in the order to be successful physicians in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. One of the things we're very proud of Huda, is the fact that at Trillium Health Partners, we are part of the University of Toronto network, and we actually have a medical academy associated with the hospital and have been graduating now for the last 4 years, a new cohort of medical students coming in and then graduating as new physicians, some who are remaining practicing here in our own community. That was a vision that was shared by the government, our community, our leaders, and one that we've seen come true. And I've had a chance to address those students on a regular basis. Dr. Mora, as you mentioned, is a leading teacher in this province and in this country in medical education. And so we continue to play our role in ensuring that we have a strong supply of physicians in this province. Having said that, there is a broader role for others to play, and if Trillium can be supportive of that, we'd be delighted to do so.
Huda, thank you very much for that question. We're quickly going to go to another live question. Just a reminder, if you have a live question at any time over the course of the town hall, press 3 on your phone's keypad. We're now going to go to Zarin. Zarin, welcome to the town hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead. Hello, Zarin. You're joining us live on the line. Please go ahead with your question. Okay, we'll try and get Zarin back in just a second. In the meanwhile, I want to remind everyone that you can press 3 at any time over the course of the town hall to ask a live question of your very own. We're now going to go to our next live question. This one's going to be coming up from Mary Ann. Mary Ann, welcome. You're joining us live.
Welcome. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a little challenge for Dr. Moores. I just want to say, how is it working for you? Because this, with a nursing background of 30-some-odd years behind me, I've seen just raising numbers of people admitted to the coming through the emergency wards. The crowds are getting larger and larger, and especially here in Brampton and Mississauga areas. And the number of family physicians is lower. We have a large immigrant community of new Canadians that are coming into our community that work all hours, have different shifts. They can't seem to be able to get to their doctors when the offices are open and so forth. So therefore, they're coming into the emergency wards. And the whole idea of having a after-hours clinic attached to the hospital just makes absolutely perfect sense. It would be economical. It would be, a way of dealing with, you know, the coughs, the sneezes, the runny noses, and the things that don't need to be dealt with, but have parents that are edgy and scared to alleviate those issues. And I just have a really hard time in going back to saying yes. We have all this online teaching, and education is very important to people. But if they do not access that information, then it's not going to get to them, and they're going to once again clog up the system. So I'd like to know how you were going to address that.
So first off, I know Dr. Moore will want to weigh in on this, but I just want to say a couple of things. So you said something really important, which is this concept of that urgent after-hours capability, which our Queensway site does offer. One of the things that is part of our medium to longer term vision for this community is actually to build out another urgent care center, probably in that sort of middle to north Mississauga area over the next decade or so. It is part of what we call the overall master plan. The build of the first 500 beds that I referenced in the opening comments is also part of that, and so it's clear that one of the things that we need to do better is to explain, you know, more fully what we're trying to build out on your behalf, because urgent care, as you just referenced, is a really good way to divert from the emergency department, but also to have the flexibility of hours to service a very diverse population. So thank you for raising that, because we certainly agree with you with respect to that. But Dr. Moore, do you want to make a few comments as well?
Yes, thank you, Marianne, for your comments. I think there's a couple of things I just wanted to comment on. The first is, and one of the things that people know about now, we just did our poll, is that the vast majority of people in this community know that the size of healthcare in our hospital and the services have not kept up with the demand or the growth of this diverse and wonderful community that we serve. And I think a big part is some of the work that's been done to right-size that to make sure we have enough services. The second is I wouldn't want to leave people with the idea that there's a lot of people coming to our eMERGE who don't need care and emergency care. The vast majority of the volumes that come to our eMERGE are actually appropriate patients coming in through ambulances, and they actually require the care that we need here. And to the third point is I think it's really important that we know that the best way of taking care of people in a preventative way is with a really good family doctor. And a lot of the family physicians are part of groups that do provide after-hour services and 24-hour service. And I think as we endeavor to deal with, you know, all the things that you described around the system, we need to actually work across all those different items. One, increasing capacity. Two, making sure the right people are coming to our eMERGE and also caring for them with clinics and new ways of taking care of them, which we have implemented. But third, also making sure that the person that you're reaching out for help is someone that you know and has your records and can care for you in a family practice environment. So thank you for your very thoughtful question.
Marianne, thank you very much for that question. Now, we have another survey question. So again, everyone joining us on this question, or sorry, on the town hall tonight, please use your touchtone phone to indicate your response. Are you aware that THB has been approved for 500 new beds plus renovating 500 existing beds at Mississauga Hospital and Queensway Health Center? If yes, please press 1. If not, press 2. And if you're unsure, press 3. So again, are you aware that THB has been approved for 500 new beds plus renovating 500 existing beds at Mississauga Hospital and Queensway Health Center? If yes, please press 1. If not, please press 2. And if you're not sure, press 3. We're now going to go to our next live question coming from Bruno. Bruno, welcome to the town hall. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I'd just like to start off with a couple of comments, and then I have a question. First of all, in my many years of experience with the hospital, my overall impression has been very positive for myself and my family. I'm also glad to see that you're addressing the two issues that are top of mind for most people, which is waiting times and parking issues and related costs. Now, to go to my question, I'd just like to know, looking down the road 10 years or so, what kind of stresses do you see or foresee for the hospital given the aging population and the obesity in our children?
Well, thank you for your feedback and thank you for your question. You know, looking 10 years out, there's no doubt that we are seeing an increase in our aging population. We actually in our community have also a baby boom. We are birthing, upwards of 9,000 babies each year. So we also have a very young community and an aging population. So our hospital has to actually work through that entire life cycle in ensuring that we can provide the care when you need it most. And so when we look out 10 years, and that's part of when we talk about building 500 beds, we actually are talking about building for the next several decades. And so part of our conversation that we'll have is really thinking very much into the future about how we can think about doing things differently. You know, our mission in this hospital is a new kind of healthcare for a healthier community. And a new kind of healthcare really means about having us challenge ourselves to think differently. And a healthier community is really about ensuring that we are partnering with so many other parts of our community, whether it's transportation, housing, the food system, the environment, looking at how we can partner with all of those who are working to make this the best city, either Mississauga or West Toronto, to live in, and doing that in a way that is advancing health, because we know that nobody wakes up wanting to come to the hospital. So as we look to the future, I think you've hit on two really important pieces, which are the aging population and ensuring that we have an environment that really sets our children up for better health into the future. And we have a number of programs that help on both of those. But that's really the challenge as we design this hospital in the next several years to ensure that we're addressing that question. And I look forward to you and others becoming involved in that dialogue.
Bruno, thank you very much for that question. We have another live question. This is coming up from Art. Art, welcome to the Town Hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to say this, that I've lived in Mississauga now for 45 years. During the 45 years I've had to, I've raised a family and visited the hospital on a number of occasions. I've had heart surgery. My wife has had problems as well. And I can only say one thing. I don't think there's a better service that I've ever been given when it comes to hospital care at the Mississauga Hospital. However, I do have a concern. The last time that I was at the hospital, it's the amount of people coming into that hospital and threatening the people that work. The nurses there are taking a terrible amount of abuse. And I think it's time that senior management or someone takes care of these nurses. They are there to help the people. Honestly, it's terrible what they are doing.
Art, it's Catherine, Chief Nursing Executive, and I'd love to take your question, so thank you very much for it. And thank you on behalf of all the nurses and staff at the hospital around that. I think we are seeing increased workplace violence in not only Trillium Health Partners, but in healthcare in general. And I just want to let you know that we are very committed to addressing this issue. We want to make sure that everyone who comes through our doors, whether they're a patient, a visitor, or staff, are safe, whether they're at work or whether they're receiving care. So it's basically unacceptable to us that we will see that violence and not address it. So what we're working towards is a respectful workplace and declaration of respect that we've just launched in our hospital. It transcends patients and staff alike and sets the baseline for what we are going to accept as behaviors. And when those behaviors are not met, then we are prepared to escalate that. So thank you very much, Art.
Eric, maybe I could share one of the results from the poll, from one of the poll questions you asked about how people wish to hear from us. Your response indicated that 34% of our listeners want to hear from us through local newspapers, 29% want to hear from us through email and social media, 27% want to hear from us through TV and radio, and 10% want to hear from us while visiting. So thank you for that information, because that will help us have our continued dialogue with you to ensure that we're getting the information to you in the ways in which you wish to receive them.
Perfect. And Art, of course, thank you very much for those comments. Now, Michelle, we are just about reaching the end of the event. Now, with a few minutes remaining, did you want to share a few final thoughts or concluding remarks with the listeners?
Well, thank you, Eric. I can't believe the hour's already up. I just want to say that I thought the questions tonight were, as always, excellent. I love that our community is holding us accountable in terms of how we are delivering the services to them and when they need them. We certainly got tremendously rich feedback on how we can continue to improve and how we can continue to communicate with you. And as I said, in our next town hall, we'll have some additional feedback on the questions that you've asked us to ensure that we're continuing that record of being accountable to you for the services that we provide. I did want to also, I referenced for a couple of patients who called in, and there may be some other patients on the line as well who have concerns or questions about their care. You can call our patient relations number at 905-813-4109. My office line is 905-848-7572. And certainly, if you feel that you need to call, we do want to hear from you, and we do want to understand how we can do better in providing you care. We talk a lot at THP about being better together, and this means working together with our staff and our patients, our families, our community, to deliver the best possible care that we can. And I want to thank all of you for taking time tonight out of your busy schedules to join Dr. Mora and Catherine and I to give us this feedback and to give us an opportunity to have a dialogue with you about your thoughts and your concerns and your advice on how we can continue to build a great healthcare system in our Mississauga and West Toronto area. And also the opportunity to update you on our capacity challenges, because we know that we get feedback from you about wait times and about some of those challenges that you're experiencing when you come to the hospital. We're also very grateful for those who have shared your experiences and your thankfulness to the staff who have provided those services to you. If you'd like to get involved, we'd like to leave a couple of contact numbers for you over and above the ones I just did. So if you have additional questions, you can leave them on the voicemail at 905-848-7681. You can go to our website at trilliumhealthpartners.ca. You can go to our email at public.affairs@trilliumhealthpartners.ca, or you can tweet at @trillium_health. I also wanted to share, Eric, that we've had a record crowd tonight. 16,000 people in our community have joined this telephone town hall at some part during the evening. So again, I just want to thank our community for your interest and your passion for healthcare in this community and the support and partnership we have with you. I also want to thank all of the staff, physicians, professional staff and volunteers who I get the honor to work alongside with each and every day, and we are honored to serve you. Thank you so much, and have a great evening.
Thank you again to everyone for joining us on this evening's Trillium Health Partners Community Telephone Town Hall meeting with Michelle D'Emmanuel, President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners, Dr. Dante Mora, Chief of Staff, and Catherine Hayward Murray, Senior Vice President, Patient Care Services, and Chief Nursing Executive. If you still have any questions or any feedback that you would like to share with Michelle and her team at Trillium Health Partners, you can do so by emailing us at public.affairs@thp.ca. Or once the town hall has finished, you'll have a chance to leave a voicemail. So you can stay on the line, and once the town hall has ended formally, you'll be able to leave a voicemail. Please leave your name and phone number for us to be able to get back to you. Just a reminder, you can email your questions and feedback to us at public.affairs@thp.ca, or stay on the line if you wish to leave a voicemail at the conclusion of the town hall. Please remember to include your name and phone number in your message so we can get back to you. Thank you again to everyone for joining us on this evening's town hall, and have a great night.